Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticoff. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled The Healing of the Weak One. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches or porticos. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, hulled, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool to trouble the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, I want you to understand that there is some discussion about verse 4 as being a questionable addition to the text. So we won't go into that here at this point. So let me move on to verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case or condition. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, or in the Greek, Lord, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. This clinical case study that John has recorded for us has a very powerful and message for us with regard to the omnipotent power of God over our temporal conditions. It is interesting that Jesus is at the house of mercy. Bethesda means house of mercy. And this was a makeshift hospital at this time. And in verse 3, we're told that those in need of healing were impotent folk, blind, halt, or limping, weathered, or those who are shrunken in the text, waiting for the moving of the water. And so in verse 3, the term impotent folk, it's interesting because it means without strength. It also means powerless, sick, or weak. We are given the physical condition of these individuals. we're given information as to the symptoms also of what has happened to them. But the symptomatic information is very limited. In verse 5, we read that there was a certain man, and so the Greek text has anthropos was there, and so it is in the imperfect tense. This is where he spent his time. His custom was to be there. There was nothing else going on in his life. And so he, or this individual, had been in this condition. We're told in verse 5 that his condition is called asthenia. And the Greek text has in the asthenia of him. The Greek preposition en means within the sphere of. Within the sphere of. Then we have the article before the noun asthenia. The asthenia of him. And so we're also told that he has been in this condition 38 years. Verse 6, the consummate diagnostician is at work. We read in verse 6, at the beginning of verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie. And the word lie is a present passive middle participle. But I just want you to get the idea of what is going on here. So we read, when Jesus saw him lie. So the information that Jesus needed about this individual is received into his omnipotent mind in a flawless manner. And so Jesus takes note of this individual before he engages him. And so the causal factors that relate to his condition all are taken into account by Yesu. And so Jesus has his chart in his mind. He knows this individual. He knows him completely. Now, there is a Greek word, gnosko, which means knowledge gained from experience. It means to grow, also to grow in knowledge. Then there's another Greek word for knowledge, which is oida, and it means comprehensive awareness or comprehensive knowledge. God knows absolutely our works. And in the message to the church, the seven churches in Revelation, in Asia Minor, now modern Turkey, this term is used. Oh yeah, I know absolutely your works. Jesus has taken a comprehensive awareness of the behavior that has brought this man to this condition. And if you look and think about this very, very seriously, we read in verse 5 that this individual had this infirmity 38 years. And in verse 6, we read, then Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. We're not told that Jesus interviewed anyone who knew this man or who had observed this man. We're not told that Jesus asked anyone about who this individual was. When Jesus saw him lie and knew. Okay? And Jesus and knew that he had now been there a long time. Jesus approaches him in verse 6, and he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Simple statement that Jesus makes. Very simple, pointed, a direct question. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be created whole? There's a special choice of words that Jesus uses in this context. Wilt thou be made sound or whole in health? Notice the response on the part of the strengthless one, the weak one. Notice the response or the reply. Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, in the English, but Kyrie, or Lord, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So Jesus asked a direct question. Jesus posed a direct question to this individual, and this is answer. The impotent one cannot answer Jesus outside of his impotence. This individual, we understand, is undifferentiated from his condition. He has been in this situation for 38 years. His answer is consistent with his condition. He cannot speak outside of his environment. So, a very pointed question is replied to with an evasive and an evasive answer that has nothing to do with what he is asked. How does the impotent one hear what Jesus has asked? Wilt thou be made whole? He tells Jesus his story. He gives Jesus his narrative. He summarizes his 38 years. And notice how the pronoun I is used by this one. Lord, I have no man. That was not relative to the question of Jesus. When the water is troubled, to put me, notice another pronoun, into the pool, worthwhile I, pronoun I, am coming another step down before me. And so he is wrapped up into himself. Now, what Kierkegaard calls this the sickness unto death. That's for another show. But I want you to get the significant limitation with regard to understanding that is going on in this man's life. Now, there's more information about his condition later on in this same chapter. We're not given all of the information about this individual. We are given some of the information about this particular individual. So notice in verse 8, we read, Jesus saith unto him, rise, Egaire. And Jesus uses the imperative, take up, another verb given in the imperative. So two verbs are given in the, we have the imperative verb take up thy bed and walk. It's a very powerful, very forceful and determined, decisive, intentional words of Jesus. This is resurrection. Jesus has called this man out of a condition to which he had been bound for 38 years, undifferentiated. Was this some type of somatoform disorder? Possibly. This man is undifferentiated, or was undifferentiated from his condition. He was his condition. He told us so. We are given the information in verse 5. Which had an infirmity 38 years. So we have the verb had, and here in this context, which had an infirmity, the word had here means to hold on. It means to wear. He wore his condition, which had seeped into his soul and weakened his soul, weakened his resolve, weakened who he was as an individual. He wore this condition, this infirmity, which made him strengthless and powerless, and that took over his life in a comprehensive sense. The whole individual was taken over by this condition. You and I know today how lives are being lost because people find themselves in acute and chronic existential crisis. What is life about? Life has no meaning, no significance for people today. Mere existence is unsatisfying. people are more than the physics and chemistry of neurons. The soul that has been ignored so long in Western medicine wants answers, wants reality, wants a significance that the culture cannot give because the culture itself is suffering existential crisis. It is a collective sickness. The culture is in crisis. Jesus says to this individual in verse 8, rise, or literally wake up. Wake up. Come out of a passive, lifeless state or condition. Resurrection is an eschatological term, and it is used in this context. To speak to one who for 38 years has been bound by an infirmity that rendered him passive or unable to have a significant life. So today, we think that there is something wrong with the brain if people do not exhibit normative behavior, or what is called normative behavior. By the way, what is normative in a culture that is in existential crisis? What is normative? What are the margins of normality? What do we look upon as being normal today? It is very interesting what is going on before our very eyes, what is being transformed for us. God has an answer for us in the living Christ. God has an answer for us in His living Word. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Matter Cause. Have a wonderful day.